and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. And with me, as always, is producer Dodds.
Hey guys, we're back to the normal format of the podcast.
Yes, last week was our interview, nutritionalist interview, which was, I absolutely loved it. Loads of fun facts, and we've had some great feedback, so thank you for that. I hope you all found it as useful as I did. I'm going to go and see her, so I'll fill you back in on what she tells me I can and can't eat. But we're on episode 42.
It's exciting. We're going to do two this week, aren't we?
We are, because I'm going to New York. Woohoo!
Lucky.
I know.
It's a shame you just missed the 4th of July stuff. That would have been quite cool.
Yeah, I know, but we had to time it around a few bits and pieces. So it's Charlene and I. So if you've listened to the After Hours podcast, Charlene and I are going out there to go and spend a bit of time with the New York team and share a bit of knowledge across the water.
And bring me back some souvenirs.
I'll bring you back some souvenirs. So yeah, last week was a busy one. You left me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was my birthday.
It was. So, happy birthday again.
Thank you very much.
I had to do two talks without you. I felt like I was like missing an arm.
No, you did really well, I heard.
Thank you. Thank you. So we did one about influencers. One about influencer marketing, a panel, and then another where I did my imposter syndrome talk.
I can't believe we've been nearly 2 minutes into the podcast and you've not even told anybody about your new dance moves.
This morning I've learned how to Vossy Pop.
So we're really at the cutting edge of
pop culture. Honestly, it's like teaching Nana how to dance. But yeah, I can now Vossy Pop. So should we jump in?
Absolutely.
Should we dive straight in this morning with the news? I want to talk to you about the power of social, and specifically the power of someone called Alex Mann, a 15-year-old that got invited on stage with Dave at Glastonbury and performed with him so well that it went viral. The video went viral. His follower numbers have gone up massively. He's now on 178,000 followers on Twitter and 110,000 followers on Instagram. And the hashtag Alex from Glasto has been trending post-performance. The interesting thing about this is that since the performance, the kid, Alex Mann, 15-year-old, has been talking to brands. So he's been talking to Boohoo specifically. We know that he's been invited to appear at other festivals throughout the summer. And also, he has been offered a record deal, which is just crazy. He was really good, though. He knew every single word to the song. The thing, though, that I really want to talk about now is the power that that has had on Dave's music. So the song Tiago Silva, which is the one that they performed together on stage, has actually re-entered the charts following that performance and that video going viral, and it was released 3 years ago. So you can see that getting something trending, getting people talking about it, will then increase listener numbers to then put him back in the charts. So it's fascinating the impact that social can have on music downloads. The music industry is one that has changed so dramatically since the birth of social, and we've seen it on numerous occasions. We would not have the artists such as Justin Bieber, Carly Rae Jepsen, if social did not exist. Those guys were posting on YouTube, videos on YouTube for years before they got signed. So you can see that the power of social is there and has changed the way that we are consuming music. We have our own music channel, which we own and manage, which is called Music Life. And every month we reach 150 million people with our content. And we also have 200 million video views every month. Why is it so successful? It's because we have managed to figure out the way that music and the music industry can live on social. So the way that we do that and the way that we have managed to get songs back in the charts that might have been released before is by the power of memes. We talk about memes quite a lot. We love memes. We know that memes have an intrinsic value on social. And one example that we did was an artist called Harvey. We wanted to raise awareness for Harvey's single Hasta Luego. What we did is we created meme content around his video. what we know from social is that 70% of people listen to videos without sound. But by putting it on the Music Live channel where people expect music and sound to be, we managed to flip that. And actually 70% of people who watched the videos that we put out for this single watched it with sound. It reached 1.75 million people and it managed to get Harvey into the charts because of that engagement and the reach that we got from that campaign. So what this all shows is that social and music now have to live in harmony. Do you think that the likes of streaming and the power of social have changed the music industry for better or for worse, now that anybody can become famous overnight, just like Alex from Glastonbury? So now is time for the main story of the week. And this week I want to talk about Stranger Things and how Stranger Things is close to becoming Sponsored Things. The show, as we all know, is set in the 80s, and the way that it achieved its perfect 80s aesthetic is by using brands from the time seamlessly within the show. This season, though, there seems to have been a switch. Obviously, this is how the show can make more money, but have they gone over the top? They have signed up to 75 brand deals for this series, including Baskin-Robbins, H&M, Coca-Cola, Burger King, Lego, to name but a few. I could read a few more off, but I can't remember 75. It's annoying to watch because you can just see that they're purposely putting these brands in your face while you're watching the show. And there has been quite a backlash on Twitter from people getting frustrated by the blatant pushing of product in a show that has been so popular. Now, we know with Netflix that there's only a certain window that Netflix have to engage people, because people binge. There's only like a week, a moment in time where you can capture the attention. Now, I'm not slating product placement. Product placement works if it's done in the right way. So Heineken have previously paid $45 million to be the branded beer that James Bond drinks. This was a brilliant collaboration, and it was actually looked out for by film fans of James Bond because they knew that James Bond usually drank something else. So when it came to that point where he was drinking Heineken, it was actually a talking point of the movie. So that's where it can be done well. An example of where it's done badly is Sex and the City, one of my favourite shows. Got to the second film, they obviously were thinking of how to make more cash from the franchise. They sold out. The second film was just absolutely littered with brands, and it takes away from the beauty of what you're watching. And Stranger Things, I think, are guilty of this series too. Why have they done it? So we know with Netflix that there's only a certain window in time where people will be talking about the new series of Stranger Things. Because people binge watch, what they have obviously done is spread their net really far and wide with the brand deals and the amount of money they can make, instead of going with one brand partner over a long period of time. I'd love to hear whether you think it's distracted from the storyline, and also what you think of the third series. Let me know. Now it is time for our admission submission of the week. And this one is from a lady called Nicole. So thanks, Nicole, for putting your name on it. Makes a change, doesn't it? Usually they are anonymous. And if you've not listened before, an admission submission is something where you can send in an anonymous, if you like, question to Dodds and I, and we will answer it on the show. If you want to do that, the website is www.katieleeson.com. And this week's one reads, I need some advice, Katie. As an entrepreneur mixing up sports and business in the form of car racing, Formula Ford to be exact, what would your top tips for me approaching businesses wanting to partner up? I'm building my brand, but it's going to take time until my value is substantial. Is there anything I can do in the meantime to bring new business aboard? Many thanks for your advice you can offer, Nicole. So if you listened to the episode a few weeks ago where we talked about personal branding, this is where this admission submission came from. And if you want to give that episode a listen, we give valuable tips on what to do with your own personal brand. For me, though, when you're talking about partnering up with other brands and other companies, the starting point for me is always about values and authenticity. So making sure that your brand aligns with the brands that you want to be partnered with. Don't just jump in because someone is offering you money. Really think about your values and their values and whether they align and whether it's going to be right for the audience as well that you're trying to target. So one thing that I really do want to talk about is partnering up with an established entity. The thing that I really want to talk about here is the Love Island sponsorship that Uber Eats have done. On the surface, it seems like it's a perfect fit. It's on every night by an audience that will use and consume Uber Eats. But where they've fallen down is the idents that they've produced, the actual creative, is just so irritating that it's become more of an annoyance than it has an actual brand partnership. So there's a few things to really consider before you jump in. Yes, it might be the right fit, but also the way that they're talking to the audience is just irritating. So it's really important to consider every aspect of a brand partnership is what I'm trying to say there. You mentioned in your question that you're building up your brand. One thing that we know is that that is never ending. So don't let that stop you from trying to find the perfect partners to work with, because you're always going to be building your brand. There's always things that you're going to do to try and build and increase either your reach or your following or your supporters. It's not going to stop once you hit a certain number. You're always going to be reaching for that next goal. So make sure that the partnerships that you're going for align with your size as well. Don't try and go too big or too small. But for me, it's all about values. Don't just align with the wrong partner for the cash. Make sure that your values match, make sure that your identity matches, and make sure that your creative that you put out there, whether that is on the side of the car or whether that is in terms of TV sponsorships, make sure that that resonates with the audience that you're trying to speak to. Now it is time for my main topic of the week, which is, I shouldn't say this, but you're not happy. Sounds ominous, doesn't it? So this is quite a big one for me. And this is my philosophy to a truly happy life. So for 33 years, I have lived a happy, normal life. I had happy friends. I had big, happy ambitions. And last year, I went through the worst year of my life. And even for the last few years, I've had a lot of change and a lot of sadness. And I found myself asking if happiness actually equates to fulfillment, and then why I am not fulfilled. What I found was going through some of the lowest lows taught me to appreciate the highest of highs. And rather than just living and not really appreciating things, I have learned to really take on that feeling of happiness. And it's made such a positive impact on how I think about the world. I'm not going to go into what happened last year too much because it's a little bit personal, but I had quite a lot of loss within a short space of time, and it definitely took me to a place where I've never been before, never experienced it. I felt sad and I felt a little bit of stress and anxiety, but this was another level. And I want to talk to you about sort of the epiphany moment that I've had coming out the other end of it. I have always set myself goals and I always set myself little challenges. And I've done that in my personal and my private life. And getting to now 35, you feel like you've failed if you've not achieved what your mind says that you should be doing. We've talked about this before in terms of my personal stuff about not being married and not having kids at this age and the stress and strain that you've put on yourself to try and be something that's not right for you maybe at the time can have a really negative impact. My imposter syndrome also comes into play quite a lot where I feel like I'm going to get found out or I will be exposed as a fraud in my work. So what I learned from my really low point, so in my lowest point, I felt like I was in a cave. Everything was very grey. It's really weird to describe, really, but I felt like I couldn't see a way out of that pit. I felt like I was in a pit, and I couldn't find any enjoyment in anything. My friends tried and my family tried, but it was like there was just nothing there. And I worked quite hard on myself to try and make myself healthy, not happy, but healthy again, and improve small things at a time to make myself feel slightly better. And I remember that I went for a coffee with Kira, our director of happiness. One thing she said to me, which at the time I was just like, it's just not going to come back, is that once I do feel that feeling of happiness again, I will appreciate it so much more. And at that time, I didn't really think about it. And then in the last few months, I'd say, you'd know better than me. How I've changed in the last few months, because you were there. You were there at the lowest point, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't to blame, but I was there.
At my lowest, I think the things that when I realised that I really wasn't right was when I was just driving in the car, just going somewhere, and I just burst out crying. And that for me is really weird. Because you were there at probably one of the lowest points, I think, Dodds.
I remember we were texting, weren't we?
Yeah.
And he was just saying that, well, I won't go into detail. But yeah. But then compare that to now.
Yeah.
It's probably been 3 months.
Maybe four. 4 months.
But certainly in a much, much better place.
Yeah.
And it was around that time, actually, when we were doing the podcast and we had that inconsistency because we just didn't. I was off for a bit and then you were off for a bit and then it was difficult to like get good content out because I don't think either of us were mentally in there.
No. And I had a bit of time off work because I just needed a break and just a holiday. I'd already booked it. And then I went out for lunch with my friend and I just sat down and I just burst out crying. And she just said to me, I don't think it's right for you to go back in. And that's when I spoke to you. And I also rang Dom, the co-founder. And I just said, I just can't do it. I can't deal with the things that I'm dealing with and also do the job that I need to do and be everyone's support system. I just wouldn't have done anyone any favours or myself, because what I was doing was I was adding on top of my own problems, everyone else's problems, and I was taking it all and it was making it worse. But I absolutely broke down. On the phone to Dom, I was just like sobbing in town, just crying in town, walking. It makes me feel quite emotional, actually, because I was just walking down Deansgate just in floods of tears, with people just staring at me. But...
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it feels like it's a lifetime ago now. God, it's just so weird that it's like that's the impact it has on you. I just didn't feel like myself and I didn't know how it was ever going to end. I think that's the thing.
Let me cry.
Oh, God. But the thing, I'm crying. This is your fault.
But that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And a lot's happened since then.
So much has happened since then. And I think that's why I think I'm getting emotional, because it was just so bad I couldn't see the end of it. And now that I'm just such a different person in such a short space of time, that I really started to reevaluate what it was that how I wanted to live, really, and what I wanted to get out of life. And the thing that I've really realised is how to appreciate happy moments. And I think that's why I'm a bit emotional. And how to just take the enjoyment out of life again and not really overthink things and over-worry. And that feeling of being happy, I took for granted, and now I just don't. I really don't take that for granted. I remember just feeling dead grey and sad, and now I'm in yellow today, but also I just feel brighter, and I feel like that happiness feeling, if I was to describe it, it's like a brightness that comes out of you, and I took it for granted far too much.
I remember you saying that you were like numb to it.
Yeah, I was.
Like it happened 100%. And that was fine and no reaction, but then when something bad happened, it was like big reaction.
Yeah, yeah. And definitely what it's done is made me reevaluate how I approach things and the way I deal with people as well. So now I'm just not worrying about stuff as much as I used to. I used to be such a worrier, and now I'm just not worrying, because what's the worst that can happen kind of thing. I used to be awful for worry about everything, every little thing. And even though it was really horrible, it's changed me so much for the better in terms of worry. And I just love being silly and laughing now. And I found massive enjoyment out of those moments, whereas before I would have just been racing to the next thing. So it's definitely made me appreciate life, which sounds really cheesy.
But almost like you're now just content with who you are. I'm thinking about the imposter syndrome when you're like, oh, I'm not this like old white man in a grey suit and box. But now you're like,
yeah,
that's the...
And I've just thrown myself into everything.
Perspective almost. You're like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I've thrown myself into things as well, I think. So if you think about like last Friday, getting on stage, I didn't feel nervous. Mm-hmm. Whereas before I would have been so scared about saying the wrong thing or getting found out. And I think I'm so much more comfortable in myself. I've just turned into Yes Man as well. If you've never read the book Yes Man by Danny Wallace, it's one of my favourite books. And I cannot recommend it highly enough, that when you get opportunities thrown your way, take them. Because you never know where it'll like lead you. So I'm just saying yes to everything, and I'm not afraid to do it. So yeah, I think the support I got from Steve and Dom, the founders of the company, was just incredible. And we're going to go zip wiring soon together. Just a little bit of time going to do something adventurous and something fun. And I'm going on loads of holidays.
So it's all coming up, Katie Leeson.
It is, yeah. And I'm just embracing things, to be honest. And it is an epiphany. I feel like I've now rediscovered what I want my life to be like.
So almost grateful.
I am grateful. It was really hard. But coming out of that has made me appreciate people, experiences, and happiness so much more.
Well, I hope people can relate to that and maybe even learn something,
and also don't just put so much pressure on yourself to be fit that mold. Just you do you and fossy bop your way through. But yeah, I am very content now, and sorry I got upset.
No, that was emotional. That roller coaster.
It was. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. I hope that that's helped. And if anyone wants to talk to me, if they're going through something similar, please just get in touch. You can get in touch on the social channels, but also on the website, which is www.katieleeson.com. And we will see you next week.